Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. We had a good breakfast this morning, and I appreciate all of you that came, all of the men that helped to cook and prepare. And we had a couple new classes that started this morning. If you hadn't yet plugged into our small group Bible studies on Sunday mornings, let me encourage you to do that. It's a good place for you to build relationships with other members of your church family. And you'll probably grow more spiritually in those groups than you ever will sitting in here and listening to me, because you'll feed on each other's experiences and help one another grow. But I appreciate all of you that were part of that this morning. Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm going to begin reading in verse 30. Read through the end of the chapter. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. God speaking to Ezekiel the prophet. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee. Now, that word probably is better translated, all thy people still are talking about thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as thy people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. They go after their own ways. Verse 32, and lo, thou art, speaking to Ezekiel, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, he's speaking of all those prophecies that he had given to Ezekiel to proclaim. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. I'll be honest with you, even reading this passage of Scripture makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I have tried to get away from this message, primarily because it has a feeling to me of being somewhat of a self-serving message, and almost it, and I know this is not the truth, but this is the way the devil makes me feel about it. He makes me feel like this is a self-serving, self-centered, and even somewhat arrogant message to proclaim. And I want to say at the outset, that is not my intention at all, and I don't believe it's the intention of this passage of Scripture. And what I'm saying to you this morning, I'm not speaking to you specifically as if this passage of Scripture applies to every individual in this church, but that this passage of Scripture should apply to our church and culture as a whole. Let me tell you where I'm coming from. Preaching the Word of God has become non-essential in our culture, and it is creeping its way into the church. Preaching is not valued in our culture, and preaching is not as valued in our church, in the culture, as much as it used to be. Ezekiel chapter 33 and 34, if you'll read those two passages, ever since God called me to preach, and I began really reading and studying the Scriptures for myself, Ezekiel 33 and 34 have always spoken to me very specifically and very distinctly, because Ezekiel chapter 33 says that he set Ezekiel as a prophet of God as a watchman unto the nation of Israel. And if you look that up, he said the same thing to Jeremiah, and he said the same thing to Isaiah. Three of the four major prophets, God specifically told them, I have made you a watchman. When I read Ezekiel chapter 33, what God said is, if you don't tell them what I told you, I'm going to require their blood on your hands. It scares me. Every time I've ever read it, I think, God, what an incredible responsibility. And but what God told Ezekiel, if you'll tell them what I told you, if the sword comes and destroys them, their blood is on their hands, because they didn't heed what you told them. But if you don't tell them, I'm going to hold you responsible for not being the watchman on the wall. And then you get to chapter 34, and his subject is to the pastors in Israel, or the shepherds in Israel, that are feeding themselves more than they're feeding the flock. And God says, I'm going to judge you because you've not taken care of the flock that I've entrusted to you. And so when I read Ezekiel chapter 33 and 34, it makes me literally tremble at the significance of the calling that God has placed on my life as a preacher of the word, as a shepherd of the flock over which the Bible says he has made me the overseer. I believe God has called me to be, as he has in Ezekiel chapter 33, he has called me to be both a watchman that sounds the alarm and a shepherd that feeds the flock. I think God has called all pastors to be those two things, and that God will hold us, God will hold me personally responsible for delivering to you the word that he delivers to me as I read and study, seek his face, and hear his spirit. God is calling me to proclaim the word of God without any fear of what you might think or say or do to me, without any favor, without showing any prejudice or any respect to one person or another person, but to proclaim it as God gives it to me. And I'm to do that for my sake, because God will hold me responsible if I don't, and for your sake, because the Bible said there's an enemy that's after you, and God has made me both a watchman and a shepherd to warn you of the enemy's encroachment in your life. I want to tell you this morning, I don't know where other preachers stand. I've got some good friends, I believe, that'll stand in the same place I am, but preaching is serious business to me. I do not take what I do on Sundays and Wednesdays, and even the teaching aspect that I might do, I do not take that lightly. And I will tell you this morning, and I say this without apology, if I could do anything else other than preach, I would. Now, I enjoy proclaiming the Word of God, but the responsibility that's accompanied with the proclaiming of the Word of God is one that makes me tremble at the responsibility that God has placed on me. I would rather sit in the pew and have somebody else have that responsibility over me than I have had the responsibility of being the watchman and the shepherd of the flock. It is serious business to me. If I could do anything else, I would do it. But I can tell you two things in my life that I'm absolutely sure of. One is the night that God saved me. And two is the night that God called me to preach. And that pastor preached from Isaiah chapter 6, and I'd heard that passage and read that passage and heard that passage preached all my life. But for the first time in all of my life, when God said to Isaiah, "Who can I send and who will go for me?" It was as if for the first time ever in my life, God pointed his finger in my face and said, "I have called you, I have equipped you, I have cleansed you, I have sent you, now will you go?" And I can tell you when that happened, I can tell you where that happened, I can tell you who was preaching that night, I can tell you how terrified I was that God was calling me into ministry, but there is no doubt in my mind that God called me. My mama didn't call me, my daddy didn't call me, a college didn't call me, a career didn't call me. God called me to do what I'm doing this morning. And if he had not done that, I would have quit a long time ago. Simply because of the responsibility that exists with that calling and that command to be a watchman and a shepherd. Throughout all of human history, God has used human vessels to reveal what his will is, what his ways are, what his purpose is, and what his plans are for people's lives. In fact, I would submit to you that the first preacher God ever made was Adam, and he failed in his responsibility. In fact, the Bible lays the weight of the fall of sin on Adam's shoulders, even though Eve was the one that was deceived. Why? Because God gave the command to Adam, and Adam was to pass the command along to Eve, and Adam did not stand as a watchman. Yeah, he stood as a watchman. He stood at her elbow and watched her eat the fruit that God told them not to eat. He failed in his responsibility of warning. He failed in his responsibility of shepherding. And I want to tell you, from the beginning of human history to today, God has always used human vessels to proclaim his will, his way, his purpose, and his plans for our life. The role of the New Testament prophet, which I believe is probably better defined as a preacher. In the Old Testament, when there was not a written word, God spoke audibly to the prophets and told them, or spoke into their spirit. The Bible said they were moved by God and they wrote as they were instructed to write. I believe it was a God-breathed instruction. The role of the New Testament prophet is not to hear anything new, but to take what God has already given through the Old Testament prophets and to preach it and proclaim it infallibly. To preach it and proclaim it as it was written, to expound upon the truth. By the way, what Paul did What the Apostle Paul did was went back to the Old Testament and got the prophets and what the prophets had said and done and prophesied and expounded upon it to make the church understand what was being talked about, what was being planned and what was being promoted and what their purpose was in all of that. So the role of the New Testament preacher or prophet is simply to proclaim as infallibly as humanly possible the unfailing word of God, thus saith the Lord. That's my job. That's all of our jobs. Amos chapter 3 verse 7 says this, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets." God spoke what his plans, what his purposes, what his will, what his way was through a human vessel to the people. And I want to tell you, one of Israel's problems was that they quit listening to the prophets. They quit listening. You find it over and over. In Isaiah, in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, even in Daniel and some of the minor prophets, that the people did not want to hear what the prophets had to say. In fact, the Bible says that they got prophets of their own to come and tell them. You'll find that even as far back as the book of Judges, there was a prophet named Micaiah that was a false prophet that the people sought out because he told them what they wanted to hear, not what thus saith the Lord. And when Israel neglected the voice of its prophets, Israel was destroyed by the sword because they did not heed the trumpet of the watchman. They did not hear the voice of the shepherd. And so preaching has long been God's way of exhorting his people. Preaching has long been God's way of bringing a word of encouragement to his people. Preaching has for a long time been God's way of correcting, instructing, warning, teaching. Preaching has been God's way of communicating with his people. Now you all have the word of God in your lap. You're not totally dependent upon me or any other teacher to completely feed you from the word of God. But there is a special place in God's program, there always has been, and there always will be, for the proclamation of his word from a pulpit or from a desk or however, people, there is a special place and a special calling. The Bible says in the church that God ordained first apostles, then prophets, then evangelists, then pastors and teachers. There will always be a role in the church of somebody to take the word of God, to study it, to hear the voice of God, and to proclaim it as God sends it forth as he sees fit. So my responsibility to you is to hear and deliver what God says to me from the pages of his word. And then all of our responsibility, mine included, I don't have to just hear and deliver what God says. I have to also believe and obey it, just as you do. You may not be called to hear and deliver it to a group of people, but all of us are called to believe and obey that word. And what God says to me is what I tell you in the ear. What I whisper in your ear, you shout it from the housetop. That's what he said to those that he sent out. What I tell you in your ear, what you hear me speak into your life, you shout it from the housetops. I'm going to give the message to one and you proclaim it to many. That's the mode of preaching. That's the methodology of preaching. That's what God has chosen in this world. That's the method that he has used to deliver his message unto the world. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, the New Living Translation says, quotes it like this, "Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you." The King James Version uses the word, "If any man has been given the gift of preaching or speaking, let him do it as the oracle of God. Let him do it as though God himself were speaking through you." I'm not here to tell you I'm God this morning, but I am here to tell you that I hear from God. I hear from him as he instructs me through his word. I hear God speaking into my life and into my spirit. And I want to tell you this morning, Ezekiel said, God told Ezekiel, "You've got a bunch of hearers, and they love to come and listen to you, but they don't intend to do anything that you say. In fact, they say that you're like one that sings a song very well, and they enjoy coming and listening to your oratory and to your speaking skills. They love to hear what you have to say. They don't have any intention of doing what you say." And what God said about those people is that, Ezekiel, you're entertaining to them. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm not here to entertain you. Now, we'll have some messages some days that we can use a lighthearted approach to preaching truth, and we can share a little bit of laughter. But that ain't my purpose. And there are preachers that are being taught you got to come out of college and you got to preach 3 points in a poem, or you got to tell a joke every 15 minutes in order to keep the people's attention. I'm here to tell you, God told me to do one thing. That is to preach the Word. To preach the Word. It is not about entertaining. It is not about impressing. It is about being a watchman on the wall, about being a shepherd over the flock, about proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord." And my responsibility is to hear what God says and to deliver it to you. And your responsibility and all of our responsibility is to believe what God said and to apply what God said to our life by walking in obedience. God, don't take this braggadociously, because I don't mean it like this. And you might say the same thing about your life. I hope you can. I hope you do. But God speaks to me every day. Not in an audible voice. I'm not telling you, I sit in a room every morning and that God speaks to me in an audible voice. But I will tell you this. I read God's Word every day. I meditate upon God's Word every day. In fact, there are very few, and I'm, again, don't you take this as being braggadocious, because I'm not. I think this comes with the calling. I don't remember ever being like this before God called me to preach. But my mind, day in and day out, is consumed with what God said. It is consumed every day with what God said. When I hear news being broadcast, or I hear this going on, or see that going on, in our culture or in your lives personally, my mind immediately runs to, what did God say? Is there a warning in this? Is there an exhortation in this? Is there an encouragement in this? Is there an instruction in this? What did God say? And my mind revolves around that all day long. God is speaking through His Word to me. And God speaks to me by His Spirit. He can do the same thing for you, and I pray that He does. But I think that God has specifically called some men who are called. In fact, if you read the New Testament, the apostle said, we don't have time to wait upon tables, because God has given to us the responsibility to be ministers of the Word and to pray. That is my primary responsibility, is to be saturated by the Word of God and to saturate that Word with prayer and to listen to what God says to me so that I can give what God says to me to you. He impresses me every day with His truth. My mind very seldom do I get very far away from what God said. And even when I do, it quickly will come. It'll come back when I hear something or see something that I know is outside the will or counsel of God. And He impresses that truth upon me, and I feel compelled to share it. Now, I'll tell you this. Sometimes He speaks to me for me. And I know when He's speaking to me for me. Because sometimes He rebukes and corrects and instructs and encourages me. And I know that it's just for me, because it ministers to me right at that particular place and right at that particular time in my life. But many other times, God speaks to me for the sake of sharing it with other people. And this is what I know about God. He knows every one of His people by name. He knows every sheep in His pasture by name. And He knows what you need. He knows where you're at. He knows what it is that's weighing you down or what's taking you astray. He knows what you need, and He knows when you need it. I don't. I'm just a vessel that He has called to use for that purpose. Now, I've had people come up, and maybe you've had this experience. Preacher, you've been reading my mail. Or you've been digging through my trash can because you know where I'm at. You know what's going on. That ain't me. I can't know. I'm not omniscient. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I believe this. God can speak to me and give you what you need when you need it. And what He's called me to do is what I whisper in your ear, shout it from the housetop. I know some of you think I sit in front of a computer all day long, and every time I try to dream up stuff to post on Facebook. Some of you got the mentality that's what I do. I promise you it ain't. If you want to ride with me or follow me any day you want to, I'll show you that that's not what I do. But I will tell you this. If God speaks into my ear and lays something on my heart that I feel like I'm supposed to share, I'll share it. I got to get it out. It's like this deal, like Jeremiah said, when I tried to keep silent, it was like fire shut up in my bone. You got to say it. You got to speak it. Why? Because somebody must need it. They're at a place and a time in their life where they need it. And whether you need it or not, somebody might. And what God has called me to be as a pastor is a watchman and a shepherd. So when he whispers in my ear, he says, shout it any way that you can shout it, any way that you can proclaim it. In fact, the Apostle Paul told Timothy to do it in season and out of season. That's do it when you feel like it and do it when you don't feel like it. Do it every time, do it all the time, do it any time that I tell you to preach. Every opportunity that you have, whether I want to do it or not, or whether you want to hear it or not, God has said, in season or out of season, preach the Word of God. Preaching's purpose, I think, has been devalued in our culture, and I'm afraid it's being devalued in many churches. Preaching the Word of God in pulpits across America has become a take it or leave it. It's become a, well, you know, it's a good message. I enjoy it. He did a good job with his delivery. He entertained me. He made me laugh this morning. I'm here to tell you, I ain't here to entertain you. I'm not even really here to relay information to you. Because the primary purpose of preaching is not just the relaying of information. It is the pursuit of transformation. It is for people to hear the Word of God, to believe the Word of God, and to respond appropriately to the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says if we don't do that, we deceive ourselves. We're like a man that looks in the mirror and sees what kind of man he is and turns away and forgets it. My job every Sunday is to hold up the Word of God and say, see what I look like, see what you look like, see what we look like. Now what are we going to do about it? We're going to take God's Word and hear it and believe it and apply it to our life. My responsibility, preaching's purpose, is to preach the truth of God's Word to you for the purpose of transforming you from the inside out. Why did God choose this method? I don't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, the last part of that verse said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, here's how we apply that verse of Scripture. Now, I preach the gospel message. People recognize they're a sinner. They recognize that Christ is the Savior, died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. They receive that truth. They confess Christ as their Lord, and they're born again. Can I tell you that the Word of God will save you over and over and over and over and over again? Not from the standpoint of regenerating you, not from the standpoint of being born again. Every time your life goes astray, the Word of God will save you if you believe it. And my responsibility is to preach it so that when you are astray or when you are discouraged or when you are down, that God gives me the Word that you need in the time that you need it, and that you hear it and you believe it, and in believing it and applying it to your life, He saves you over and over. He saves me over and over and over again. The rejection of Bible preaching by God's people has resulted in the destruction of a lot of people, a lot of families. Even nations have been destroyed because they would not hear what God said through a prophet. Oh, he's just a preacher, just another man. I mean, we knew him. We've known him all of our life. What gives him the right to say? I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't need to miss this. The Bible says this over and over in the New Testament, that God calls and gifts certain people for certain callings for a certain purpose. And the two things I'm sure of this morning is I'm saved and God called me. And that through the preaching of God's Word, He will save us over and over and over again. He can save your life, He can save your marriage, He can save a church, He can save a nation. If the people will hear what God says through His prophets. You say, preacher, now I know how this comes across, and this is the reason I've run from this message for years. Because it comes across as being arrogant and condescending. That is not what it's about. I didn't choose the gift. I didn't choose the calling. I don't know why God chose me to have it. I wish He hadn't sometimes. It is the way that God has ordained and orchestrated His plan and His purpose to be effective. But if you look at the great awakenings in our nation, when the entire nation has been saved from destruction, it is because men of God stood in a pulpit filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, having been studied and prayed up, and the Spirit of God anointed their message and empowered them to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. And the people of God heard it, believed it, responded to it affirmatively, and our nation has been saved through at least two great awakenings. And if you want to see our nation rescued, it's going to come as the people of God respond to the preaching of God and say, that is a word from God. That is not a word from the man. That is a word from God. And by the way, God told Ezekiel, these folks right now that are discouraging you and that are discounting you and that are saying you don't matter and they don't believe your word, when these things that I've told you come to pass, then they're going to know that there's been a prophet among them that they ignored, that they refused to heed. I don't know. I think sometimes people reject a preacher's message because he doesn't have the intellectual pedigree they're looking for. I don't. Now, I don't feel that way here. You never made me feel that way. And I know this among you, there are a lot of you that have a lot more intellectual wisdom than I have. I have a high school diploma. Period. But I believe when God calls a man, he will equip a man. I'm not opposed to a guy going to college and being schooled and educated. I feel like I was schooled and educated at the feet of my mom and daddy and other good Bible preachers. But the best schooling that I've ever had is as I sat at the feet of Jesus with the Word of God open in my lap and let Him teach me in my spirit. But some might reject a preacher's message because they say, oh, he's just old mechanic. Got saved. Thinks he's got something to say. Do you know that the Bible says that when the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when they looked at Peter and John, they considered that these men were unlearned and ignorant. But they marveled and made this notation in their mind. They've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. The Apostle Paul had a pedigree. He was a teacher of the law. In fact, he called himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. As far as religious leaders are concerned, Paul was at the top of the pedigree chain. He had the degrees. He had the legal knowledge. But if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here's what Paul said when he came to the church at Corinth. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You understand what Paul said? I'm not reaching back to my pedigree to preach to you. I'm preaching Christ Jesus and Him crucified. I'm delivering to you what He gave to me, not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And I believe this, if a pastor, preacher, teacher has legitimately been gifted and called by God to do what he's been called to do, then God will give them what they need when they need it and the power to deliver it as such. Some folks might reject the preacher's message because he's younger than them or maybe less experienced. Now, I know that I'm done getting up there over that hill. And I also know that you called me when I was 27 years old, 28 years old. And that's never really been a problem for this church. But I can tell you now that there are some folks that will look down upon a man because he doesn't have the youth or experience. But that's the gift and the calling of God. Jeremiah was a teenager. In fact, he called himself in the first chapter a child. I'm a child. I can't do this. God said, don't say you can't do it because I'm going to equip you to do what I've called you to do. Daniel was a teenager. Ezekiel was a teenager. Jesus was in the temple teaching at 12 years old. And Paul told Timothy, don't let people despise your youthfulness. Preach the word. Gotta use Chris. Got to use me, got to use Edward, got to use teenage boys, men in this church, women that are gifted and called to teach. God will use anybody that He's gifted and that He's called, and He'll give you the ability to minister truth. Listen, I don't care how old you are, the Word of God is ageless and timeless. It applies to all people at all times, in every age. It is appropriate and applicable to all of our lives. It don't matter what the age of the man is that delivers it. He can be a young man or an old man. The Word of God is timeless and ageless. And it doesn't matter how old or how young the vessel is that it pours out of. Age and experience may be important, but they never take precedence over what God said. Those principles and precepts are unchangeable and eternal. Some folks might reject a preacher's message because they got issues with the way he looks or the way that he talks. And I got probably both of those issues with me. I can't even stand to hear myself talk, to be honest with you. There are some guys that that'll walk out of this building because I'm not dressed in a suit and tie. I don't have no problem with a suit and tie. I just don't think that it's absolutely necessary for a man to wear a suit and a tie to proclaim thus saith the Lord. Why I believe that? Because John the Baptist came out of the wilderness wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey. Now, I ain't intending to wear no camel's hair to church nor eat locusts or wild honey, but I don't think the methodology of the man or what he looks like or what he sounds like is as important as the message that the man proclaims. If God said it, that's enough. God's prophets, if you look through the scripture, God's prophets included men that were priests, men that were kings, men that were shepherds, men that were farmers, men that were fruit pickers, and men that were fishermen. He chose all kind of men from all different walks of life. They didn't look alike, they didn't dress alike, they didn't talk the same way. But it was the method that united them. They preached, thus saith the Lord. This has been a hard message for me to preach, because I don't want it to sound self-serving or condescending. That's not my intent to deliver it. My fear is that the way that our culture looks at preaching today is now like, oh, they're giving a motivational speech today. That's great. They're giving a self-help word. Or like the Greeks. The Greeks loved to be great orators, and they'd stand up and make long speeches so that people would applaud them. That is not what preaching is about. That is not what preaching is for. And I'm afraid we've taken a low view on preaching in our culture, and I believe that the catalyst for change in our culture will be when people understand that God speaks His will, His way, His purpose, and His plan from the pages of Scripture by the power of the Holy Spirit through certain vessels that proclaim it and make it plain. I could go all through the New Testament and show you. Look in Nehemiah's day when Ezra stood up to read the Scripture. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah what the preaching of God's Word consists of. It is to take what God said and make it plain to those that hear it so that they can apply it to their lives. God has gifted people to do that. He has called people to do that. And until the church begins to take a high view of preaching and what it means and what it's for, and the culture takes a high view, we're not going to have the revival that we're looking for. In Ezekiel chapter 37, when Ezekiel saw a valley full of dry bones, and God said, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel said, "You're the only one that knows if they can live." And what did God say to do? What did God tell Ezekiel to do to the bones? He said, "Preach to the bones." Now, I know the word there is prophesy, but look it up. Preach to the bones and say, "Live." Say, "Thus saith the Lord, if you do this, you will live." And the Bible says there was a noise and a shaking and a coming together, and bone come to bone and sinew laid upon sinew. That's the preaching of the word. It brings about a trembling. It brings about a conviction. It brings about a change of heart and a change of mind. And the next thing that he said for Ezekiel to do is to, there was no breath in the bones. And he said, now pray for the wind of God, for the Spirit of God to breathe life into that body that you just spoke to. And then that body stood upon its feet and became a standing army. What I want God to do every time we gather in this house is to preach in power to you and to breathe life into that word that'll stand us on our feet and make us a living army, suited up and ready to do battle against the enemy in our culture. That's what preaching is about. Two things I know. God called me to preach His word, and God called me here to do it. I have from the first day we set foot in Zion Hill Church, I knew this is where God wanted me to be. I can't tell you I ain't never had doubts through the years, because I have. But I'm more convinced than I've ever been before that God called me to preach, and He told me, stay right here. He ain't told me any different. He may tell you different, but He's got to tell me too. If He called you here like He called me here, He didn't call you here for me to entertain you. He didn't even call me here, you here for me to inform you or to impress you. Believe it or not, He didn't call you here to be my critic. Like they did Ezekiel, get behind the walls and behind the doors and in their houses and talk. If God called you here, like He called me here, He called me here to feed you. He called you here to be fed. I can't make you eat. You got to be willing to come to the table to eat. You got to do more than hear it. If you'll take, I believe this with all my heart, God gives me what you need when you need it. And I understand this. Sometimes He's speaking to one individual in a church service. He ain't speaking to the whole crowd. Sometimes He's speaking to one. That's because God loves you. And He'll pull Himself away from the 99 to chase that one lost sheep. And He'll make me go after you with a message. Listen, that ain't me, that's God. I don't know who you are, where you are, or what you need, but God knows when you need it, how you need it. And if you'll listen, I believe He'll feed you. But if you'll take that He gives me to give to you, I believe He'll change you from the inside out. The Word of God will become nourishment to your soul that'll transform you, that'll clean you up, that'll grow you up. And that'll use you for His glory. In fact, I can prove that with 100 passages of Scripture in the New Testament. That's what the Word of God does. When it's heard, believed, and applied. But if all you do is hear it, you're going to leave just like you came every time you come into this house. Just like you leave food sitting on the table at your house, it brought you no nourishment until you put it in yourself. I'm going to read you real fast, 4 verses of Scripture. Here's what God requires of me. According to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, here's what Paul told the elders at the church. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. That means preachers, guard your own hearts, guard your own minds, mind your own spiritual life. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. You are His possession, not mine. But He has called me to feed you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Again, he's talking to the elders. This is the same word that's translated pastor. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because you're being forced to do it, but willingly. not for filthy lucre, not for the profit that you might receive, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Here's what God says. You better mind your life as a preacher. Mind your example as a preacher. Mind your reputation and your testimony as a minister of God's word. Exercise your God-appointed role to watch over the flock and to keep the flock and to guard the flock and to feed the flock that He has placed in your care. That's what God requires of me. Here's what God requires of you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Now, I love the King James Version of the Bible, but if you look up those words, I am not a lord over you. I am not your dictator. I am not even your head. Jesus is your head. I'm just a mouthpiece for Him. He's your head. My responsibility is to have the mind of Christ, but Christ is the head of this church, not me. I don't rule over you in the sense that I'm the authoritarian in the church. That is better translated, remember them which have or which lead you. Remember them which lead you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule or that lead you, and submit yourselves. Now, you're not submitting to me. You're not submitting to me. If I proclaim the word of God, your submission is not to me. Your submission is to God. Obey them that lead you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. I can tell you the hardest thing that I have to deal with as a pastor and a preacher is to show people what the Word of God clearly says regarding their life, who they are, where they are, what they need to do, and for them to disregard it and walk away. Because I know what the result of that's going to be. I'm not preaching to entertain you. I'm not preaching to impress you. I'm not preaching to feed you information. I want your life to be all wrapped up in the Word of God. I want you to be purified and cleansed and grow because God feeds you His Word through me. And you're transformed by it. I love you. I really, 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 really love you. And I want to be an example to you. I'm going to fail from time to time. I'm a work in progress just like you are. I do my best. One of the first men that I talked to about God calling me to preach was an old preacher that didn't have... He taught himself to read. Brother Clarence McMillan taught himself to read, reading the Word of God. And he was a poor reader. He struggled reading. Because I've always loved to read. I struggled to listen to him sometimes read because he had so much trouble with the words. But as soon as he got through reading, the power and the passion of the truth of God's Word come pouring out of him. And God used him, and every church that he pastored, the church prospered and grew, and people were saved and discipled. And so he's one of the first men that I went and talked to because I was ignorant and unlearned. I was uneducated. I could read, but that was about the extent of it. I'd been schooled under my mom and my dad, but I was scared to death when it came to pastoring. And when I went to him and said, I need you to tell me what this means, what I need to do to be successful at what God's called me to do. And he told me two things. He said, love your people. And he said, you can't just tell them that you love them. You got to show them you love them. And keep yourself above reproach. Live a life consistent with what you preach. I'm trying. And I want you to know with all my heart this morning, I love you and I want to help you be everything that God wants you to be. I want to help your marriage be everything that God wants it to be. I want to help you raise your kids the way God wants you to raise your kids. And this is, I'm not reading from a self-help book. I'm not reading from Parenting 101 for Dummies. I'm not reading from This Is How Your Marriage Ought to Work for Dummies. I'm reading from the infallible, inspired, immutable, unchanging Word of God. It is profitable for everything. It furnishes us with everything we need. And my desire for you is to lead you to love, worship, obey, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ now and forever by the proclamation, the clear proclamation of His Word. Every church in America, everywhere I go, I want to preach this word to the people, because there are pastors standing all over this community this morning doing the same thing I'm doing. It's not that we want to be exalted or elevated. That's not, in fact, I feel like John the Baptist, if I do my job right, he will decrease, or he will increase and I will decrease. If I do my job right, Jesus is going to be elevated. Not me, Jesus is going to be elevated. I want you to hear me, I want you to hear him. If he ain't speaking through me, you need a new preacher. As our musicians come. Father, this has been a hard, hard thing for me to preach this morning, because I don't ever want to come across as being better than, higher than, more important than. I'm not any of those things. In fact, your word makes it abundantly clear to me that this is your body, and that we're all members of it. The only difference in any of us is the role that you call us to fill, the function that we're called to fill. It's just all about what you gift us to do and all about what you call us to do. And for whatever reason, God, you've chosen throughout human history, through the foolishness of preaching, to save those that would believe. You're still doing that today. You're still doing that today. I believe the enemy is behind this cultural shift and this church shift away from preaching. These days, churches become more about what the worship service looks like or feels like, or the decor or the atmosphere. People want 10 or 15 minutes of somebody to stand up and give them a motivational speech and then turn them loose. That's the enemy. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be a church. Help me first and foremost to be a pastor that hears from you. If it don't come from you, don't let me say it. If I'm on the wrong page, if I'm speaking or preaching in the wrong spirit, I pray, Father God, that you would rebuke me, that you'd tie my tongue before I ever speak out of line or out of turn, before I ever say anything that's inconsistent with what your word says or what you've told me to say. If it makes an utter fool out of me, if it embarrasses me to the nth degree, do it, God. Don't let me go outside of your word. Not to impress, not to entertain. And God, I pray that we as your church would just hear. I pray you'd help me to hear as a pastor what you want me to say. Help me to be the watchman on the wall. Help me to be the shepherd in the field that sounds the warning, that shows the sheep the wolf in their life, in their marriage, in this church, in our culture. And then I pray that you'd help them to hear that warning, not as if it came from me, but that as if it came from you. And that they would respond by believing and obeying. I don't know how to give an invitation, but Lord, however you've spoken this morning, I pray that people would hear and respond to you. Do whatever is appropriate and necessary this morning. Maybe their life has been out of line. Maybe they've heard some messages over the last few weeks that you've pointed out some things. I hadn't been reading your mail. I hadn't been been digging into their life. I'm not looking to find fault. I just trust you to send me in the direction I need to go that'll minister to those that need to be ministered to, corrected, encouraged, rebuked. So do whatever, God, you need to do in this time of invitation. Help us just to be faithful and obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So stand and sing.
Sorrows like sea.